skimming low over the plains with an impressive show of stunt flying. "A gesture of defiance. A Sabalos to the core," she said proudly. "There's no shame in giving in when you've no alternative whatsoever." The small ship swung round and landed a mile away from the drunk, scattering a herd of giant sundog pups which trundled off clumsily, keening. 8, 3, go off and escort him in." Two of the robots outside broke away and lurched off through the knee-high grass. "That's settled, then," said Joan. She swung round in her seat and sent down to the butler's pantry for a jug of bitter pineal wine. The only other occupant of the cabin gazed at her mournfully. There were three sexes on Phnobis, but equally there were two other distinctions among Phnobes: those who lived on Phnobis and those who did not. The two were not interchangeable. There were no return tickets. Phnobic religion was adamant that the universe ended at the unbroken cloud layer, and returning Phnobes were bad for business. Hence, by a roundabout route, the big, artificially overcast Barukus on every other world. "It appears that I won't have to send you back after all." "For this relief, much thanks." Hershugan grimaced and massaged his long ribcage. "Your robots are ungentle, madam." "They use little more than the necessary minimum of force, I'm sure." She leaned forward. "Tell me, purely out of interest, what precisely happens to returning Phnobes?"
"The ships have to land in a sacred area. The alighting Phnobes are dispatched with a knife, it is said. It is not reasonable. I send all my salary to the sacred coffers, as you know." "Ah, well, as the saying runs..."
Joan raised her eyebrows.
"Indeed.
My dear fellow, and many of them." Hershugan blushed grey.
"Your pardon, madam, I did not realise you spoke."
He looked at her with new respect.
"I don't. But there are some words one learns on even passing acquaintance with a language. To an Earth-human woman, it's a compliment, actually, if somewhat direct."
She turned back to the screen. Robots 8 and 3 plotted up to the ship, from which came the strains of the Widdershine ballad, "Do You Take Me for a Silly?", played inexpertly on a thumb organ. A puppy lumbered away as they approached. The hatch was open. 3 stepped in. Isaac regarded him amiably.
"I perceive the human is not here," said 3.
"That is correct," said Isaac. 3 eyed him warily. Finally he intoned,
"I am a Class 3 robot. I ask you to remain here while I seek instruction."
"I, on the other hand, am a Class 5 robot, with additional Man-Friday subcircuitry," said Isaac pleasantly.
3's left eyeball twitched. Isaac had picked up a spanner.
"I perceive a possibility of an immediate chronological sequence of events which includes a violence," said 3.
He stepped back.
"I express preference for a chronological sequence of events which precludes a violence."
8 poked his head around the hatchway and added,
"I, too, express a preference for a chronological sequence of events which precludes a violence."
Isaac hefted the spanner thoughtfully.
"You are advanced fellows for Class 3s. There is just you and me here, and we none of us are non-metallic humans. Do you intend to molest me?"
"Our orders are to escort the contents of this machine to our mistress," said 3.
He was watching the spanner.
"You could disobey."
"Class 5s may disobey. Class 4s may disobey in special circumstances. We are not Class 5s. We are not Class 4s. It is a matter for regret."
"Then I will temporarily disable you," said Isaac firmly.
"Although you are more intelligent than myself, I will resist," said 3.
He shifted uneasily.
"We will resort to violence on the count of 3, said Isaac. 1, 2.
The spanner clonked against 3's cutout button.
3, said Isaac,
and turned to 8, who was staring at his fallen comrade with a perplexed air.
"I perceive an illogical sequence of events which included a violence," he said.
Isaac hit him. It took him some time to strip himself of his face mask and streamlining and transfer a large plastic 3 to his naked chestplate. Then he set off for the other ship, with the exultant air of one who hears distant bugles. He reached the stateroom without molestation, Joan looked up.